We're just shy of 6 months until people head to the polls to vote in the 2020 general election. President Trump is the incumbent Republican nominee, and former Vice President Joe Biden is the presumptive Democratic nominee. But no election would be complete without a third-party candidate joining the race.
Who's the best qualified person up here on the stage to create jobs? Make your decision and vote on November the 3rd. To American people, I'm doing this because I love you. That's it.
Don't waste your vote on politics as usual. Vote for Ross Perot.
Campaign ads filled with half-truths. $10 million. Promises to special interest groups. Over $10 billion. Finding out the truth? Priceless. There are some things money can't buy. Without Ralph Nader in the presidential debates, the truth will come in last.
Make healthcare and college free, create a welcoming path to citizenship, and end systemic racism. It's time to reject the lesser evil and fight for the greater good, like our lives depend on it, because they do. I'm Dr. Jill Stein.
I heard from many that they didn't want to waste their vote. Wasting your vote is voting for somebody that you don't believe in. I'm running for President of the United States. I am the third party.
You just heard from businessman Ross Perot, attorney and activist Ralph Nader, Dr. Jill Stein, and former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, all of whom ran as third-party candidates over the last few decades. Now, in 2020, there are a few candidates starting to throw their hats into the ring for president, including independent Michigan Representative Justin Amash. He's looking at a run as a libertarian. Our next guest joins us to talk about the role that third parties play in American politics and their impact on elections, especially presidential elections. Laura M. Brown is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Laura, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be with you.
Well, Laura, every time we have a significant third-party candidate in a race, there's arguments before the campaign about which major party candidate they're going to help or hurt more. There's arguments often for decades afterward about what happened. How do we, in general, evaluate the impact of a third-party candidate running for president?
Well, so third parties do have an impact, and the biggest impact they have is at the idea side. And by that, I mean what they usually do is raise issues that are not being addressed by either major political party. If they start to gain traction, the political parties that are the two central ones will usually look to those issues and see if they can't kind of co-opt them for themselves, make them their own, and start arguing those issues to the electorate to attract some of those third-party voters who were drifting in that direction. And so usually what happens is over time, the third party, which may have initially swelled, kind of recedes as the major political parties take over those issues and start changing their directions.
There are a lot of barriers to entry for third parties, especially in a presidential race. You got to get on the ballot, in effect, one state at a time. The Electoral College makes it hard. Can you talk about just how high a hurdle it is if you want to be a third party candidate and think you're going to have a chance to win this thing?
Well, let's start with the basics, which is plurality elections. In the United States, we say that the person with the most votes is the person who wins, and that is the case at the popular vote level. The Electoral College then says the person with the most electoral votes, so long as it's a majority, wins. So these are high hurdles. And what happens in these systems is that everyone who is a voter says to themselves, I want to vote for somebody who's got a legitimate chance. And typically, third parties are only going to earn somewhere, you know, between 1 to 5% of the vote. So Americans say to themselves, I don't want to waste my vote. And that's part of this kind of vicious cycle of how high the hurdle is, just even at the argument level. And you could hear that in the montage that you put together, where so many of those third party candidates were trying to say, you're not wasting your vote by voting for me.
We're talking about third-party presidential runs with Lara Brown from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. We mentioned Justin Amash, a member of Congress, former Republican. He's gone independent, now looking at a run as a Libertarian. Here he is speaking on CNN saying candidates like him represent more of America than the two big parties. Here's a listen.
Most Americans are delightful people, are polite people, want to work with each other, respect each other. And these two factions that really control our political system are destroying our system and making it impossible for the rest of us to frankly enjoy our lives. So I want to go there and represent these millions of people. And I think we are at that crossroads where this kind of change can happen. Things are not settled the way they were maybe 30, 40 years ago. We have a lot of uncertainty right now, and there's an opening for a Libertarian Party to become a major party in this country.
So that idea that there's this large unrepresented mass of Americans discontented with the two-party system, creating an opening for a third party, in this case, the Libertarian Party. It's not the first time we've heard that argument, though, is it, Lara?
No, and this is where it's so interesting, because it is true that about 4 in 10 Americans say that they are independent, that they really don't have an affiliation with either major political party. But the problem is when you probe those independents, they don't agree with each other. And in fact, for the most part, they sort of split down the middle in terms of leaning issue-wise toward one party or the other. So what usually happens is that there are a kind of subset, series of issues that a group of independents might all agree on. But on most things that the parties really do take opposite stances on, that in fact splits the independents as well and doesn't leave much room for the Libertarian or really any other third party.
When we look at countries with multi-party systems, often with proportional representation, it seems like the chance for any given individual to find a match on a lot of issues gets a lot higher with more parties to choose from. Here in the U.S., if you're, pro-choice, but are opposed to immigration levels as they are, want them lower, well, one party represents one party, the other party represents, and you got to flip a coin. Are we in some ways more poorly represented because we have to compromise to some extent with one of two parties?
Well, it's interesting because what you would hear a lot of political scientists say is that the two major political parties right now are sort of more ideologically coherent than they have been in the past. So if you go back a good 50 years in our history, you actually saw conservative Democrats and progressive Democrats existing within the same Democratic Party. That was also true on the Republican side of the aisle. And most of the political science research would say that people were more poorly represented then because they didn't necessarily know what their party was going to stand for. In other words, right now, party positions are very clear. I think this is also why not all Americans feel comfortable with either major political party, and we have seen independents grow in terms of identification. But it is a difficult thing to try to translate people's interests with what the party's stances are. And I do think there are definitely some problems with our current system as it sits.
We continue our conversation about third-party presidential candidates as a couple of hopefuls announce that they're looking into running. Former Republican, now independent Congressman Justin Amash has announced a Libertarian campaign. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura has expressed interest, at least, in running for the Green Party nomination. Lara Brown is with us, Associate Professor and Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see more third-party candidates running? Do you feel underrepresented and or underwhelmed by the Democrats and the Republicans in this particular election? Do you want another alternative? Have you voted third-party in the past? Or do you encourage people to not support third-party candidates, making the wasting your vote argument? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Ryan is with us in Superior. Ryan, hi.
Hi, yes. I appreciate you guys taking my call. When I initially at the last election that swept Trump into office, I voted in the primaries for Bernie Sanders because I was supporting someone who I felt represented the values of what I'd like to see in our nation. And when he lost to President Clinton, I found myself in a situation where I had to choose between, you know, what two politicians that I found just were not going to do anything that I wanted to see. And in the end, I went with a third party candidate. And some people were mad at me about that, but I really don't regret my decisions on that because I've always been taught that, you know, ever since I was in grade school, that what you do with when you vote in your elections is that you stick by what you feel you'd like to see represented in our nation.
Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. And Laura, Ryan, not alone, I think, in 2016.
Not at all. And one of the things that I think is important to realize is that, you know, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were two of the most highly unfavorable presidential candidates we have had in polling history. So one of the realities was that a lot of people believed that the outcome of the election was something of a foregone conclusion. Many people believed that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. And as a result, many people said, it's important for me to vote for a third party to try to send a message to the two major parties that they need to do better. And the truth of the matter is 6% of the total electorate voted for a third party or an independent candidate, and that's very high. It's also what kept Hillary Clinton into only getting a plurality. She earned 48% of the popular vote. So while it was more than Donald Trump, it was that 48% that also caused part of the problem with the inversion in the Electoral College.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Wyatt now with us in Sparta. Wyatt, hello.
Hi, I hope you can hear me okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that even though I like the idea of parties like the Green Party, Libertarian Party, I just don't think they'd ever have, like, the power to, you know, like, enough votes behind them just the way the system's set up. You know, I just don't even, I mean, I don't even remember the last time I've seen one on a debate stage, you know? So.
Wyatt, thanks a lot for the call. Laura, is Wyatt probably predicting the near future, at least accurately? We're not likely to see a huge emergence of a third party?
Well, that's correct. I mean, I do think in 2020, there is a very different type of dynamic. This is an incumbent reelection campaign, and what that means is that most Americans are saying to themselves, do they want President Trump to continue for four more years or do they not? And they're not really casting about for an open seat or a bigger choice about who would they like to see in office, which is what happened in 2016. But let me just touch on one other thing. There has been an incredibly important third-party candidate, and his name was Ross Perot. He did change much of the politics throughout the 1990s, partly because of the more than 10 million individual voters that he has been said to have essentially engaged or activated, got excited about politics. He ended up getting a total of about 19 million votes, and that did end up changing the way the two major parties behaved during the 1990s because they were looking to woo the Perot voter.
Thanks a lot for that call. We've had some questions on our Facebook page about the option of ranked choice voting. I've seen that happening at the local level, people advocating for it at the national level. The idea that you could say, yeah, number one, the third party candidate, if they're out of the picture, then my vote goes to someone else. A tall order to get it into place, but is that something that could make a difference?
Well, what it does is it really allows people to express, as the caller said, the first caller, your sincere preference, right? Your sincere preference is the person you would most like to be in office and not worry about whether or not that vote was going to matter, because you could express that preference and then were that person not to even earn enough votes to kind of continue on, then that vote would go to your second choice or your third, depending on how many candidates were on the ballot.
Well, Laura, we'll leave it there and watch as maybe more candidates get into the race. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Certainly. Thanks for having me on.
We've been talking to Laura M. Brown, Associate Professor and Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at The George Washington University in Washington, D.C. She joined us today for a look at the role third parties play in American politics. You can keep sharing your thoughts over at the Ideas Network Facebook page as we get closer to the 2020 general election.